Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast, you save, O Lord. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. The words of Psalm 36, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 10. Words that are quoted by St. Paul, at least in part, in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and following, where he has that string of Old Testament bits that are demonstrating the biblical doctrine of original sin, what God thinks about our fall, how he sees us and describes us, and of course the penalty we deserve. All of it is summed up by that little phrase, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why there is no one good, not one, no one seeking God. That's why the venom of asps is on our lips and our mouths are full of curses and bitterness. That's why our feet are swift to shed blood, because there is no fear of God before our eyes. And when the Bible says that, what it means is that we don't really believe who God is. As Dr. Luther taught us, commenting on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? It means that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that if we did fear, love, and trust in God above all things, there'd be no evil anywhere. Everything would be perfectly, constantly, according to God's design, and we would relish every moment of it. But that is not what we find. Instead, we find, speaking deep within our hearts, most naturally transgression. The desire to prop myself up, to hold myself as an equal, a partner with God, or maybe even something better. Certainly, to consider myself capable of being good on my own and of climbing that ladder toward proving to God, after all, I'm really worth it. That's why the wicked flatters himself in his own eyes, because he would rather not look on the truth. He doesn't want to see the leprosy of the heart that is really there. And as a result, he's not just lying to everybody else. He's lying to himself first. And let's just translate that now. You lie to yourself first. And only then try to convince the world of your justice, your justification. So here the psalmist says all these things about us. Oh man, how dark, how sad, how frustrated. Well, yeah, we're pretty ugly in our depths, in our, to use the classical term, total depravity. Depravity, what a word. Of depraved mind. Missing something so essential. And yet, did you notice how the psalmist just turns on a dime? It's like he doesn't even pause to let you think about how he's changing everything. He's beating on mankind, saying, man, we are one messed up piece. And then suddenly he's just declaring how God is not. How his steadfast love extends to the heavens. And this is, well, how would his pondering sin prove that? Well, we're still here. We haven't been destroyed yet. People say, how could a good God let an evil world go on? Well, because he loves us and he wants to save us from it. And so he has withheld his hand with just omnipotent patience. I mean, think about it. When you find a mosquito on your arm, what do? You slap it, bam, dead, right? And that's not even really evil. That's just annoying you. But we're actually evil. What do you think God kind of wants to do? Smack, boom, get rid of the evil. But there's a greater good yet than his desire to remove evil, and that is his desire to love what he has created. And so his steadfast love remains, even though we have turned our backs on him. His faithfulness is deeper than the farthest reaches of outer space. His righteousness, that is his real goodness, is more solidified than the Rocky Mountains. His judgment, and that means his justification, is as deeper than the sea. And then the conclusion, jumping ahead to that verse 10, oh, continue your steadfast love, O Lord, to those who know you, right? We're Christians. Dear God, please don't let us forget. And all the hustle and bustle and haste and hate of our daily lives remind us of how your forgiveness doesn't perish or pass away with time or know a limitation the way ours would, but how in the death and resurrection of Jesus, his righteousness is the source, the thing that on the last day will declare us upright of heart and then give us those brand new hearts to take with us into the life of the world to come. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.